Well, if you look at your bulletin, we come to a time now that is listed as sermon. And I know in a late service, that is a frightening idea. And just so you know, I actually prefer to call this a Christmas reflection and not a sermon, because I believe it's a time for us to reflect at this time of year. And a time that's a very special time of year, as we've witnessed today, as we've sung about the coming of Christ, as we've rejoiced in what God has done in sending Him. And so as we come to this, really the idea and the hope and prayer is that we reflect upon the season, we reflect upon the passage that's here, and we think through how it applies to our lives and to our hearts this evening on Christmas Eve. And so the basic theme, you'll see it there, on the front of your bulletin is the idea of God and sinners reconcile. God and sinner reconcile. And it comes from what is really one of my favorite phrases from the carols, the Christmas carols, from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And you know the words, I know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. And then the phrase, God and sinners reconciled. And that is our thought tonight, our reflection tonight is on that idea of God and sinners reconciled. And that's an amazing idea. It's an incredible idea that God and sinners have to be reconciled. And what does that mean? Well, reconciled literally means to restore to friendship or to restore to harmony. And so what we learn, believe in the scripture and also from the song itself and our scripture we'll look at today, is that mankind and God are in need of having that relationship that is damaged and strained, having it healed. That God and sinners are out of harmony with one another. And tonight we want to reflect briefly upon that strained relationship and upon a reconciliation that is available. Let me read our text tonight. It's Colossians chapter 1, 19 through 23, and then I'm going to pray for us. For in Him, this is in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled and the body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, as we approach your word tonight, as we approach this idea of God and sinners reconciled, Lord, as we approach the idea, as we just read, that through Him, through Christ, to reconcile to Himself all things, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears tonight. Lord, on this special occasion of Christmas Eve, Lord, please minister to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is Christmas Eve, and with most of us, it's a season that has with it and carries with it a desire for everything to be perfect, right? Perfection, that's what we desire in this season, at least most of us. There might be a couple of you who will leave here and go shopping, and maybe perfection's not on your list during the Christmas season, but for most of us, there's a desire for everything to be perfect. And you know, you start out and you look for, and we seek out the perfect tree, right? You go, you pick it out, you spin it around, or you walk around it if you're cutting it down. We go and we try to find the perfect gift. We wrap our presents perfectly with beautiful paper. At least we try to. We have perfect, or at least a desire for perfect family time, that everyone would get along. And then for that Christmas meal, a perfect meal that's going to be laid out before us. And then also, of course, perfect Christmas cards. You want to send out the one. You know, you don't take the picture and send out the one that where everyone looks goofy, where people are looking away and all that. You want something that's perfect. You don't go and pick out the tree that's about to tip over, that's got all these, you know, limbs that are missing. You want something that's perfect. And I remember growing up, we used to seek out, you know, this idea of a Christmas card, a perfect Christmas card. We always would try to take a picture that worked well, where all of us were at least looking at the camera and smiling, which was tough to do because not all of us, especially during middle school years, were all that photogenic. So it took a little work, all right, for the cables to get a good Christmas card. And I remember one year we went out and we didn't know where we were going to take the picture, but we grabbed this friend of ours who owned a camera, and we said, "Hey, would you be our photographer?" And I know regrettably now that she agreed to come with us. And we start driving around looking for the perfect place to take the perfect picture for our perfect Christmas card. And we found it. We found it. It was beautiful. It was a large, beautiful, decorative Christmas display. This huge display, probably about 10 feet tall. And it was a cute little thing. It was an adorable bear holding a candy cane. He's on top of a rocking horse. And we said, "This is where we want to take our picture, in front of this." Unfortunately, it was in someone else's yard. And so my family said, "Well, we got to have a plan here." So we drove around the block one time and we said, "Hey, look, when we come up, we're going to stop the car very quickly. We all hop out, we go, we get a quick pose, you take the picture, and we run back and we get back in the car." And sure enough, we go, we pull up, and my photographer friend, you know, I'm sure she is just horrified that she is doing this, but she runs out. We all run in front of the sign. We smile. We stand straight very quickly. She takes the picture, and we run off, all right? And if you see the picture, it's a beautiful picture. We all look a little out of breath, but it is a beautiful picture for that perfect Christmas card. And you see, our hearts long for perfection at this time of year. We long for their to be no error or flaw. We have a desire that if there is an error or flaw, that we can fix it, that we can correct it. Because if there is no error or flaw, I think this is what's key to the human heart, if there's no error or flaw, then there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. If we can achieve perfection, there's nothing to worry about. So perfection seems to bring peace. And isn't that what we long for this time of year? Do you hear it in the carols? You'll hear it in the carol that we're going to sing at the end, "Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace." Sleep in heavenly peace. And it's a peaceful picture that's meant to bring peace to our own hearts. The phrase, once again, "Hark the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king." And there it is again. Peace on earth. Peace on earth and mercy mild. And the thought is perfection then would bring peace. No flaws. Nothing to worry about. But the problem is, instead of peace, we find something else, don't we? When we seek to achieve perfection, instead of peace, we find something else. We go about and it's like we're fighting against the stream. Our world does not seem to make things perfect. Instead, it seems to bring things down. And we have to ask the question, well, why is that? And our passage, verse 21, says this. Says that in our sinful condition, we are alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. It's a hostile environment. And perfection, rather than bringing peace, actually brings something else. And in fact, you don't have to look very far in this world to see that not only is the human heart and human condition hostile at times and without peace, but this fallen condition has come upon all the world and all of creation, all of nature as well. Nothing is at peace. You look around, you see storms, see natural disasters. Nothing is at peace. And when we, you know, give our best efforts to seek perfect things, it's like we're going once again, fighting an uphill battle against a world that seems to not be at peace at all. And so how does it end? When we go about trying to do something perfect for Christmas, how does it end? Well, I'm going to tell you how it ends, because this is a true story of how it ended several years ago. It was back in the 1950s. This is a story that my mom shared with me from her childhood. She would always tell this story that Growing up, they grew up. My mom had three brothers, and this is it, obviously, her side of the family. Mom and Papa Richie is how I knew my grandparents. And once again, they had four children. And my mom was second to youngest. The youngest was a little boy named George. And the Richie family, as they were known, lived next door to the King family, Tom and Evelyn King. And Tom King was cousins with my grandfather. And so, you know, right next door, they would often do, you know, celebrate things together, celebrate the holidays together, had lots of fun going back and forth. And Evelyn, Tom's wife, was just a very elegant woman, a woman of honor, a woman who was very fashionable. And the story goes like this, that one holiday season, she was getting ready for the perfect holiday meal. And you know how it is, right? Maybe you're in the middle of it now, or maybe tomorrow as you enter into it. You know, all the work that goes into it. She had made a turkey. She had had all the dishes, had the finest china out. And there was only one flaw in her plan, which was there was a football game. And it distracted everyone for just a second. And they all went into the other room. This was in Bryan College Station, so it was probably, this was around Thanksgiving, so it was probably the, you know, the A&M Texas game. As they're in the other room, there's a pet that was over at the Richie household. And this pet was like a dog. It wasn't a dog, but like a dog. It would, you know, run through the house, and they'd let it in and out, and would kind of go through the neighborhood, come back. And literally, they treated it like a dog, but it was a raccoon. I don't know. Anyone have a raccoon as a pet? Probably a bad idea, all right? You're probably seeing what's about to happen. What happened is this raccoon got and found the external place where the dryer which shot out, and they found the vent and climbed in between the vent and the house and got into the house. And everyone was in the other room, and this raccoon came upon a feast and started picking at and tearing apart the turkey that was there, walking through the table, turning over the china and breaking the china, the sugar bowl and everything, tipping it over, everything spilling out onto the table. Evelyn came back in, and it didn't take long for that elegance to leave, all right? As she saw the mess, all of this that she had worked so hard for, this perfection, this perfect meal for the holiday season. And yet in the middle of that, what happens is an animal comes in and spoils the whole thing. I talked to George, my uncle, today. I was talking to him about this story. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, well, Richie, I'll just let you know that it didn't fare well for the raccoon and myself that evening. You see, in the midst of our longing and preparation for perfection, there's evidence all around us that something is off, something is horribly wrong. Something has been majorly disrupted. And instead of finding peace when we try to have perfection in this world, we find frustration. Right, you try and make the beautiful meal, but the animal gets in and destroys it. You try and take a beautiful family picture, right? But us middle children will never smile, right? You can't get the picture that you want. You try and save up money to have stability and comfort, but the engine needs to be repaired, and all of a sudden your savings are gone. You try and have a good relationship with your child, and they're difficult at times. And you want this perfect life, but something's wrong. Something is off. The whole thing is wrong. And at Christmas, this time of year, just for a short season, we oftentimes have that scent of peace, if you will. We smell it. Just for a short time. And our hearts delight in it. Isn't that true? That we taste of peace and our hearts delight in it. But though we smell it at Christmas and the peace that we long for and seek to have, it's always elusive. And we can throw everything in, all the things of this world in, to see if we can obtain some sort of peace in the long term. And we can put all the money toward it. We can put all the preparations, the pleasures, the beauty of this world. We can put the arts in it, the relationships, the knowledge of this world. And we try and obtain it with everything of this world, but we can never obtain it. Something is still off, no matter what we throw at it from this world. Unless there is one way to find peace, unless the thing that was originally broken, that relationship that was originally severed, then finally, if that is repaired, then we can find peace. And we find that peace when we see this phrase once again, God and sinner reconciled. If that relationship is healed, then God and sinner can be reconciled, and there's much more as well that can be reconciled. I don't know where you are this Christmas Eve night. Maybe you're trying to keep everyone and everything balanced and happy this Christmas. Maybe you're trying to obtain the perfect holiday, trying to have a life of perfection. And instead, all you find right now, maybe you feel restless and anxious and worried, and there's pain. This evening, our passage tells us this. Verse 19 says, "For in Him, this is where we will find the reconciliation. This is where we will find God and sinner reconciled." It says, "For in Him, in Jesus, in this baby that tonight we come and we celebrate during this Christmas season, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell," meaning that this baby was fully God and fully man. "And through Him," verse 20, "to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven." A promise that Jesus was sent here not simply to fix what He could and then He went away, but it's a promise to reconcile, to bring harmony to bring friendship back. All things with mankind and creation. And then that relevant final statement, making, and then what's the word that we see? Making peace. Making peace by the blood of His cross. You see, the baby that was born that night long ago would ultimately need to grow up and become a man. And then this reconciliation that happens between God and us would come at a very dear price for Him. It is that cost, it is that sacrifice, Jesus' death upon the cross, where finally we have the phrase, God and sinner are reconciled. For those who look to that baby this evening, that baby that was born that night long ago and the work He did upon the cross, we have harmony returned. Peace with God is brought back. And there's also a promise that He is not done, but that He is reconciling once again all things to Himself, both on earth and in heaven. My prayer for you this evening, this Christmas Eve evening, is that you find true rest and peace this Christmas. And you find it not because you have the perfect meal ready for tomorrow, or that the house is finally, you know, tidy and beautiful because everyone's coming, or that you bought the perfect presents that everyone wants, or that family for a season is in balance, but that instead you see that trying to maintain peace in those areas on an ongoing basis is always elusive. It's always chasing after the wind. And then my prayer for you this evening is that you find true rest and peace this Christmas in the baby whose birth we celebrate tonight. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. I want to invite Bob to come up, and I want to invite you all to participate in this sermon, which is this. Before we close in prayer, we're going to actually sing a cappella this first verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So if you would please stand as we sing this and as we say these words, my prayer for you is that you reflect upon what we've just heard.
The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, God, we praise you, we thank you. Hark, the herald angels sing. Lord, God and sinners can be reconciled. Lord, we thank you for this baby Jesus, for this one who grew up to be a man who goes to the cross. Lord, so that we can sing that God and sinner is finally reconciled. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight who is not reconciled in their heart with you, Lord, would they discover and know that they can't throw the things of this world, the good works that they might have, Lord, to try to bring reconciliation. Lord, they will never be perfect. They will always fall short. They will never be at peace. But Lord, what great, incredible peace there is. Because Lord, you are perfect. You kept the law perfectly. And Lord, in your perfection, it is true that we truly can find peace. We praise your name and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.